This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Thank you, world. Welcome back. Hour two, Grant and Danny on the Fan. DR, I'll tell you, it felt like fall going outside this morning with the dog and the baby. It was chilly.
Yeah, that's right.
It was wet. I felt like I should be carving pumpkins and giving out candy. It felt like October, man. It was good.
This is our time. This is not the time for children and Instagram models to be posing in bikinis in various locales around the world somehow with unlimited free time. No, no, no. This is the time of the portly gentleman eating chili inside.
Let's go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline and welcome on to the show Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus, who joins us now, and Grant and Danny, an NFL analyst, who I like listening to his podcast and reading his work. Does a really good job covering the league. Sam, you're on in Washington, D.C. Appreciate the time. How are you?
Doing good. How about you guys?
Doing very well. Thanks for hopping aboard. All right, let's start with the Thursday night football game. Has there ever been a bigger drop-off in national TV games from Chiefs, Ravens, Mahomes dealing with Lamar Jackson, and then the Jets playing Brett Rippon led Denver tomorrow night?
Yeah, whoever makes the NFL schedule hates Thursday night football. You know, opening day, okay, fine, we've got to give them a good game. And then after that, we've had, you know, Cleveland-Cincinnati, we've had Miami-Jacksonville, and now we're getting the Jets and a Brett Rippon led Denver Broncos team. So, yeah, it's not – Thursday night football is not where they want the ratings, apparently.
Sam – through the 3 weeks, obviously we overreact to small samples. It's what we do. It's the NFL. It provides that wonderful opportunity each and every week to have a referendum. But through 3 weeks, most pleasant surprise and most bitter disappointment?
The most pleasant surprise, I think, is that we're getting MVP Aaron Rodgers back. I miss that guy. You know, 2011 Aaron Rodgers, 2014 maybe. But we haven't seen him play at this level for five-plus years. And I think it's reminding everybody that, hey, I know Patrick Mahomes is the flavor of the month and the latest, greatest of all-time quarterback, but this guy, Aaron Rodgers, was doing this a while ago, and he's still apparently capable of it. So I'm excited for that because I think it changes the whole balance of power, certainly in the NFC and maybe in the NFL overall. Like, the Green Bay Packers are not just here to make the playoffs and then maybe get beaten by one of the true best teams in the NFL. If Rodgers plays at this level, they are as good as anybody. And I think that's massively encouraging. And then for biggest disappointment, I think, you know, maybe Carson Wentz and the Eagles. Wentz looks like he's just forgotten how to play football. It's amazing. I don't think I've seen a quarterback collapse this dramatically in a long, long time, and there's very little reason for it. It's hard to pin down why it's happened. He just looks like, you know, like a golfer with the yips.
Sam Monson of Pro Football Focus on Grant and Danny. I'm going to give you three coaches. You tell me which of the three you'd least want to be over the next month in terms of being on the hot seat. Adam Gase of the Jets. I'm going to go Bill O'Brien with the 0-3 Texans. And let's throw Dan Quinn of the Falcons, who just keep losing big leads in there.
I think Bill O'Brien is the only one of the three that's okay. I think the Texans' start to the season was just brutal. And while it has shown that, look, they're definitely not better than a year ago in terms of being able to contend with the best teams in the league that sort of knocked them off their game late in the season, I don't think they're any worse either. And I think you're going to see a bounce back from Houston once they get clear of just the train wreck of their early season schedule. The other two guys, it's hard to see it coming around. I mean, the Jets just don't have the talent to make it happen. They're miserable pretty much across the board. And then the Falcons look like damaged goods right now. They've never really recovered from that 28-3 Super Bowl collapse, and then back-to-back games with a collapse as dramatic as that is just, that's indicative of something wrong being there. Like, you should not throw away one of those games, let alone two of them in back-to-back games. So it's hard to see either of those teams dramatically turning it around, but at least I guess the Falcons have the personnel and the talent to be able to do it if they do get past whatever emotional block is there.
Sam, I think we'd probably all agree that Chicago, with benefiting of a 1-8 opponent schedule, is probably the most fraudulent 3-0 team at this point. You could disagree if you'd like to. But other than that, Seattle, Green Bay, Kansas City, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, all standing at 3-0. Who's got the biggest yeah but to that group? That's something that's going to undo their championship hopes.
That's a good question. I kind of like almost all the teams there. I think most of them are the teams that you would expect to come out of it with impressive win-loss records at the end of the season. I don't know that there's a dramatic fraudulent team amongst the 3-0 groups. I guess Tennessee would be the closest. I don't think they're quite as good as 3-0. I think they've benefited a little bit from opposition. Certainly the Vikings had them on the ropes in this past week, and they managed to get that win. But they're not as good as they were a season ago. I don't think Ryan Tannehill is going to play at that level all the way through the season. I think their offensive line is worse, which doesn't help Tannehill, but also hinders Derrick Henry a little bit. Their defense obviously showed against the Vikings that they can be attacked and exposed a little bit. So I guess of all those teams, Tennessee would be the one, but I still kind of like them to come through that division and potentially make some noise in the playoffs.
Sam Monson is PFF's lead NFL analyst. He's joining us on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. What's your analysis of Dwayne Haskins after a year and 3 weeks at this point?
This past week, I think, probably changed the narrative on Dwayne Haskins. Like, this was his worst game as a pro. It was a disaster. He threw five turnover-worthy plays in this game. Obviously, he had the three interceptions, which were made look even worse by the fact that the Browns scored a touchdown off the back of each one of them. But five turnover-worthy plays, which wasn't just the most in the NFL this week, but he had six in his career heading into this game. So he almost matched the number of turnover-worthy plays he had in his NFL career in this one game against Cleveland. And everything was bad. I mean, it's like it took him two attempts to do anything good that he did. You know, he missed the guy the first time and then come back and hit him the second. And then every one of those good plays was offset by a catastrophic mistake. And this was the first game, I think, where you look at Haskins and say, okay, it might not be there. And it might not all be his fault. He's in a similar boat to Sam Darnold with the Jets in terms of the situation around him. It's just not good enough, I don't think, for him to be elevated and to have a great platform to succeed. But neither is he capable of elevating the situation around him and looking better than his surroundings in a way somebody like Joe Burrow potentially is this year. So I think his situation has now started to get pretty concerning. The writing may be on the wall for him, and maybe at some point they're looking at making a switch.
Sam, I want to follow up on that for a second. This is something I'm struggling an awful lot with, right? We all know, we can see with our eyes, Haskins isn't playing particularly well. I think a really good quarterback would also have a pretty low ceiling in this offense with that line, with the personnel, with the skill players, et cetera. How much do you think one is affecting the other, right? I mean, it's chicken or the egg. What's the catalyst there? I have a hard time quantifying what we're seeing because we all know that it's bad. The offense stinks, but I guess whose fault is it? Kind of break it down for me. Give me a pie graph.
Yeah, I think it's a lot. I think the circumstance around him is dictating this a lot. But the problem is the quarterback it's the most important position in football. It's the guy that gets all the credit when things are going right, and it's the guy that gets all the blame when things are going wrong. And ultimately, when things go in the tank and things unravel and you end up with one of those top five draft picks, the problem with that is you get another shot at a quarterback. And almost no quarterback can succeed in a really bad situation. but the transcendent ones that everybody is looking for can. So every time the things fall to pieces and you end up with a shot at one of the top quarterbacks, you have to basically ask yourself the question of, is this guy a transcendent quarterback that can paper over all of these cracks in one fell swoop? And that's kind of what happened with the Cardinals and Kyler Murray and the Josh Rosen situation. Josh Rosen had no shot in Arizona. Like, he didn't have a prayer of succeeding given what was around him. And it gave Arizona this fantastic opportunity to take a shot at Kyler Murray. And they basically made the call that, look, it's not fair on Josh Rosen at all. On the other hand, we think Kyler Murray is a transcendent talent that can offset all of the bad things that are happening in this offense immediately. And I think they're right. They had to make that call. They made the right one. And Kyler Murray does look talented enough that he's able to turn it all around almost by himself. So Washington may end up in exactly the same situation where you end up having to basically write off Haskins, not necessarily because he can't succeed, but because you might get a shot at a Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields or someone that you do think can immediately change everything, even though the situation around them remains bad.
Sam Monson of PFF with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Always enjoy watching, reading all of your content. Thanks for the time, and thanks for hopping on with us here in D.C.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Be well. There's Sam Monson on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. We're going to catch up with Michael Lombardi still this hour in about 20 minutes. He is our Radio.com NFL insider, and he's going to join us to go around the NFL. Brought to you by Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. $1,000 up for grabs every single week at Radio.com/picks. One thing I want to ask him, Danny, and it's along the quarterback lines of what we were just talking about with Sam, but I think it's better to ask a front office guy. The game has changed on how long these quarterbacks get now. And again, it's not fair. What happened to Josh Rosen, I thought what he said was smart. Wasn't fair. Patrick Ramsey, not fair. Jason Campbell, not fair. You can go round and around and around on quarterbacks that got raw deals. But it used to be you just get 3 years.
Right.
Now you basically get 12 games or something like that.
The clock is running, dude. Everybody starts looking at your watch the first time you set foot on campus. That's how it is now.
We'll talk to Michael Lombardi about that at the bottom of the hour. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Let's set the table for NBA Finals Game 1 next, and then we will talk ball with Lombardi coming up in 18 minutes. Right now, breaking news we'll have to react to as well. Let's get to the Earl Forsey News Desk. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, looking forward to talking to Michael Lombardi. So we said this off the top, and it seems like it's coming to fruition now. Diana Rossini's report, you just heard Earl break the news as we went to break. The NFL will not ask the Titans to play the Steelers on Sunday without having been at their facility all week. Until this morning, when Diana got this news within the last half hour, that was the plan. And it just didn't seem like it made any sense. I don't know how you could have asked Mike Vrabel and his team and Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry to get ready for Pittsburgh on Zoom. that's not the way that works.
It's like, yeah, you got a really important test coming up. So, you know, no books, no study materials, no nothing. Just going cold and see what happens. Yeah, no way. There's no way you could ask them to do that. This was the right thing.
All options on the table. They could play Monday Night Football. They could play in the middle of the season with the Week 7 and Week 8 buys kind of changed around. That they could get creative and do something we haven't thought of. But as of right now, all we know is that they will not play on Sunday, so the slate shrinks by one game. NBA Finals tonight. How much interest do you have in Lakers Heat?
I got a pretty strong interest on a Wednesday evening. I'm
in,
man.
Ooh,
that's a great question. Give me,
in terms of the storylines of the series.
Give me 7. Give me a 7 out of 10. It's not unbelievable because mostly the LeBron former Heat Spoelstra sort of matchup. Spoelstra knows the ins and outs and the what have yous. The weaknesses of LeBron, if there are any, by the way. He knows the best way to attack. He's an incredible coach. This Miami team, the 5 seed in the East, basically has run roughshod over the Eastern Conference field on their way to the finals. They've been incredible. It's been a different guy every night. Basically 4 guys averaging north of 16.5 points a game in this postseason. Basically 4 20-point scorers a night the way that they do it. Defensively, they're excellent. They give you second and third efforts. They play together. They're really good. Whereas you know what the Lakers are? If anybody's going to step up besides our two-man tandem of Davis and LeBron James, that's what's fun. It's been Rondo. You've had playoff Rondo a couple different times. But it's contrasting styles, contrasting team builds, and they ended up in the same place. I'm into it, man.
So I find myself maybe a 6 out of 10, and I give it a an extra half point or point because it's the finals. Mm-hmm. My concern is that the Lakers are just a lot better than the Heat. And I know Miami's been amazing throughout these playoffs, and I thought that in a couple of their previous series. I've kind of undervalued them, underrated them. I've not given them their credit, and I will admit that, but I think that they're just running up against something bigger and badder than them here, and I'm worried about it being a 4 or 5-game series. But a couple of things of note in this final. So, first of all, it's day 85 for these teams in the bubble right
about
now.
It.
Think about that. Now, their families have been there recently as they got to come to watch the finals in the conference playoffs. But they've been in a 15-story, 545-room hotel that's generally used for family vacations. They've been there for 85 days now.
That's crazy.
Game one tips off tonight, 9 o'clock on ABC. You got Mike Breen, Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson on the call. Rachel Nichols is on the sideline, so really, really good broadcast team. 66 years of what they call the shot clock era now, dating back to 1954. So 66 times 2 is 170 plus teams that are one seeds in these playoffs, and 80 of them have made the finals. The Lakers are the 80th one seed since 1954 to do it. The Heat are the first ever 5 seed to get to the NBA
Finals. Is that right?
No 5 seed has ever gotten to the NBA Finals. So they're trying to become the biggest long shot a couple of different ways, including they were 60-1 as far as the odds went to win the finals at the beginning of the season. Imagine having put 100 or 500 bucks on the Miami Heat.
Yeah, not bad, right?
At the start of the year. You mentioned the Spoelstra angle. I've seen a lot of people making it about Pat Riley and LeBron. I saw this via the Ringer's Jonathan Tarks, I think is his name. And he talked about how LeBron's team-building vision was kind of shaped by Pat Riley, and they spent a lot of time talking about that. And he kind of wrote about this idea that LeBron doesn't compete against players anymore. He competes against the executives in other boardrooms, essentially. So I thought that was an interesting angle here as well. He's could be a GM. He's basically played GM. He's played head coach for the last several years. But LeBron James and Anthony Davis, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, that's kind of the series. I know the Lakers don't have much else. The Heat don't necessarily have great players other than those two guys either. Do you think it'll be a series? I just worry that the Lakers are going to outclass them.
I think the Lakers win it. I thought they would win the whole thing, for most of this season. I thought the Clippers would be the team that they had to go through in the conference finals, but that tandem and who's going to be their third guy, be it Kuzma, be it somebody else, as the playoffs kind of emerge. So I still think the Lakers are going to win it, but I don't think Miami's we've underestimated throughout this entire process. We've dismissed them. Yeah, they don't have the top five, top six player in the game. Jimmy Butler is certainly a top 15 guy. He's a star, and Adebayo is a top 20, 25 guy. He's a star, but not to the level of a LeBron or an Anthony Davis. Either one of those guys could be the MVP in any given year. But the way Miami plays together, and the way it's been a different guy, a different hero, including Tyler Hero, who had his unbelievable game off the bench, I wouldn't underestimate them. I think the Lakers win this series, but I think it ends up going maybe 6 games here. And if I'm Miami, I basically try to make the Lakers one-dimensional. I try to turn LeBron James into a shooter, right? Because you look at the way the two teams are distributed. Miami has a bunch of guys that have averaged basically 5 assists per game throughout the playoffs, including Bam Adebayo, by the way, kind of an underrated playmaker as a big man. That's an advantage that they have over the Lakers. But with L.A., it's LeBron averaging 9 assists a game and then Rondo off the bench averaging a handful as well, 7 assists. So basically when LeBron's in the game, if he's rebounder, defender, playmaker, finisher at the rim, you're done. You have no chance. But if you're basically saying, okay, LeBron, shoot away from the outside, he'll beat you a couple times. There'll be a couple games in the series where he goes for 40-something and has a bunch of threes. You can live with that knowing that over a 6-7-game series, if he's a shooter, this team kind of becomes a different animal. And I think you can maybe get him a couple times if you do it that way. But Spoelstra's no dummy, man. He'll have Miami ready.
I got Lakers in 5. A little bit later in the show, we can get into kind of what's at stake for LeBron here. He seems to get to the finals all the time, and rather than that being used to build him up as an endorsement of this unbelievable player who just keeps getting to this round, when he gets there and loses, it's held against him. And it's kind of amazing that people will get more upset when he gets there and loses, as if that's somehow worse than if he didn't get there at all. Like, he's now lost X amount of finals. Jordan never lost one. But this one seems tailor-made for him to go get himself another ring fitting. And later in the show, we could talk about whether he wins or loses these finals, how it's going to change his legacy. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Michael Lombardi joins us next. Want to ask him about young quarterbacks who just don't get much time anymore to prove that they can do it and where we're headed with that. Is this new way of timeline for these QBs here to stay, or is it something that's going to change in time? You're listening to The Fan. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Is Radio.com insider Michael Lombardi, brought to you by the Rocket Mortgage 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. $1,000 up for grabs every single week at Radio.com/picks. Michael, as you can imagine, we've spent the last few days talking about Dwayne Haskins quite a bit on the show. Before we get into just his performance and your evaluation of the player, can you speak as a former executive to maybe when the tide turned on how patient we are with quarterbacks? There was a time when you got 2 or 3 years when you got drafted early. Now, whether you look at Rosen or other examples, it's almost like you better show something quick, even on a bad team, or they start making other plans.
You know, Bill Parcells used to say, we get what the colleges give us. And colleges are giving us quarterbacks that are used to throwing the football. You know, when that rule was in place, it was a rule that was probably enacted when there was wishbone, when there was the veer option, when there was the loaded option, when teams were running, you know, a non-sophisticated passing game. But today in America, starting in the seventh grade, there's passing camps for football players. And kids learn to throw and catch the ball at such an early age. And the passing games in high school are spread, and you're throwing the ball more, and there's more pitching and catching. So I think that has speeded up. And then you look at the college game and you see the college game in terms of where they are. Now, they don't run a pro passing game whatsoever. However, they do throw the ball. They do set protections. They have a microcosm of what they want to do. And so there should be a smoother transition from college to pro, and that window is close. I think it's a 20-game window. I think after 20 games, you got to make a decision on quarterbacks.
So let's go into that specifically. Now, every situation is different, Michael, when you talk about head coaches and regimes, and Arizona did it more quickly than some last year. Looks like they bet right with Kyler Murray, who's been really, really good, moving on from Rosen, et cetera. So how do you view that? How much does context matter with that 20 games and kind of the situation somebody's walking into?
Well, you've got to really decide, were you right on the evaluation coming out of college? You know, I think that's what happened in Arizona. Arizona knew they weren't right on that evaluation. Once they had the kid, they realized they weren't right. I mean, I wasn't a fan of Rosen's. They took him over Lamar Jackson, obviously, you know, and that's kind of where it is. But they decided that after, you know, their evaluation was wrong. And once they decided that, then they got to fix it, you know. And the longer, you know, this notion of we got to give them more time. Well, you know, when you're lost, do you need more time? You know, if you're just, you need to redirect yourself. And so time isn't going to be of the essence. And I think when you look at the case of Dwayne Haskins Jr. and you study the 12 games that he's played and you go back and look at his collegiate career, you got to ask yourself, were you right with that evaluation? For me, after 12 games, I see everything I saw in college on Dwayne Haskins that I didn't like, that I was concerned about. The anticipatory throws, the staring down, the not having a rhythm in what he does, not being able to control the football, not being able to eliminate turnovers in his game. All those things I saw as a collegiate player. I would have never drafted him, ever. So I wouldn't have had this decision.
However, well, Michael, in fairness, you know, though, when you talk about are you still seeing what you saw, their head coach didn't want to draft him. Their scouting department didn't want to draft him at 15. I don't know what their grade on him was. I know they didn't want him there. Their owner drafted him, and he's still the owner. So I guess that's the question.
Right. Well, you know, the punter and the owner wanted to draft him. The punter's gone now. The owner stays. But the reality of it is the owner, you know, he's got, you know, he's in a world of heat, and the world of heat he put on himself. Look, we've watched 12 games of Dwayne Haskins. We've changed offense, right? And the problem Rivera has, and this is what he's going to share with his owner, He's going to say, Dan, look, I can't stand in front of these guys and tell them Dwayne Haskins the best player. They're going to lose respect for me. If he doesn't play well, they're going to lose respect for me. Now, I know, and this is all me paraphrasing, I know that I promised you I was going to give Dwayne Haskins a fair chance. I know I promised you I wouldn't bring anybody to compete for a job with them. However, after three games, I've got to say to you, that promise is running out.
So what should they do?
Well, I mean, I think they beat. I think they beat. They could actually win the East as bad as the East is. If they, I'm not saying Kyle Allen's the best player, but Kyle Allen, if he would have been on the field against Cleveland, they might have had a chance to actually win that game. They get four turnovers, you know. They can't throw the ball. You know what's Haskins at 57.9% completion. His average yards per attempt is 6.55. You know, I mean, and some of those yards are against – some of those are – I mean, watch the Philadelphia game. How they won Philly was with their defense. Now, they haven't been competitive in the next two games. You know, they haven't been competitive. And people say, well, you know, should we pay – you know, the Ravens are coming to town this week, and the Redskins – the Washington football team is a 13-point underdog. Well, they haven't been 13 points near an opponent in the last 2 weeks.
Michael Lombardi with us here on Grant and Danny. So, Michael, philosophically for me, I would never trade, you know, an extra win or two from a guy that doesn't have much of a future in Kyle Allen, who might be better right now than Haskins, for the promise or at least hope of being great at some point. How do you balance that in terms of having a 6-10 season and people feel better versus a 5-11 season where maybe people feel worse, but it's for a purpose? How do you balance that as an executive?
Well, you balance it because you're sitting there, you're watching it, right? And you haven't seen practice. If that greatness was coming, Rivera would have said it on Monday. But the problem is what happens on the game field is happening in practice. And that's what's affecting the locker room. See, for you guys to sit in your radio studio and me to sit in my office and say, have more time, we don't go to practice.
Right.
We don't have to stand in front of the team. We don't have to tell the team that even though this practice he's playing really poorly, it's all going to be okay. Yeah, we can do that from our radio studio. We could do that from my office here. You can't do that when you're around the players. The players know. And when you affect the player's life in terms of them not being able to win because the quarterback's not good enough, you're going to lose the team. It was going on in Chicago with Matt Nagy. Why do you think he changed quarterbacks? He was as patient as he could be. The general manager was demanding he keep playing Trubisky even to start him this year. And finally, he pulls him after the first half, after he throws an interception, and it wasn't one of his worst first halves ever, but he was going to lose his football team. That's where Rivera's problem is right now. He's worried about losing his team.
Michael Lombardi on G&D always brings the passion, the energy, the opinions, and a lot of insight he backs him up with. All right, Michael, I want to ask you about Carson Wentz. What is going on with him?
Well, I think, look, what's going on is the football team's not very good around. You know, we have a perception. When teams win Super Bowls, we think they stay great. It's like, you know, the other night on television when Chris Collinsworth is talking about how Drew Brees can still throw the ball down the field. There's that perception. It's not reality, but that's what the perception is, and we keep spreading that perception. Look at the numbers. Math doesn't lie. Brees refuses to throw the ball down the field. He's got guys wide open. He won't throw it to them. Okay? The perception is the Eagles are a good team. They won a Super Bowl 3 years ago, right? They're a good team. Well, they're 19-18-1 since they've won the Super Bowl. Carson Wentz is 14-16-1 since he's won the Super Bowl. They're not a good team. We think they are. We have a perception that they are. Here's how perception drives everything in the National Football League. Last week, if you two would have bet every team on Saturday that had money, less than 16% on them, less than 16% of the money that was being taken in by the sports books, if you would have bet nine of those teams had it, you would have finished 8-1. You would have covered the spread or won outright. Perception drives everything. And so perception's driving the Eagles as being this talented team. So you naturally ask the question, what's wrong with Carson Wentz? Well, his team's horrible around him. He's starting Greg Ward's his best receiver. You can't win with Greg Ward as your best receiver. You draft it. You've got an offensive line that's beat up, a 38-year-old left tackle that's not blocking Carl Lawson in the game the other day. You can't really run the football because you don't stick to the running game and you don't have a power run game. And then defensively, you're playing three linebackers that nobody would play in the National Football League. No one would play them. They wouldn't make any team in the NFL, and you're starting three of them. So it's really not a hard problem. They're not any good.
Michael, a bunch of teams down at the bottom of this league have quarterbacks that are really scuffling. You see Washington in there as well. But Sam Darnold's really stinging. I mean, that's a guy that everybody has a great reputation, hasn't done much, but the surrounding situation for him is also terrible. How do you evaluate something like that for him and someone like Daniel Jones, who's not having a good start to his year?
Well, I mean, Daniel Jones, let's take the New York Football Giants. They're 12-39 since the boat trip, since that fateful three-hour boat trip that Gilligan had more life expectancy on than the Giants have, right? They're 12-39. There hasn't been a period in New York Giant football history that's been this bad. And Daniel Jones was overdrafted. The president of the team, John Mara, wanted to draft him, and so he did. And so now they're paying a price. Is he good enough? I'm not sure. He doesn't play very fast. When he's got time and he can throw it, he looks really good. But when the game speeds up, he can't. You know, and I think that's the issue. So, you know, it's just, to me, you've got to – every team is different, and every quarterback – Darnold has turned the ball over all the time at USC, turned it over repeatedly. However, that being said, his team isn't very good. The offensive game plans are never really good enough, so we'll see. But my instincts tell me that they're going to be in the Trevor Lawrence. They're going to pick Trevor Lawrence if they get a chance. Trevor Lawrence is better than all these guys.
And that's the question, and maybe next time we have you on, that's what we got to talk about, is if you like some things about your young guy, whether it's Jones or Darnold, I guess to a lesser extent, but you can throw Haskins into the mix, and you've got a chance at Lawrence, do you owe it to yourself to go Murray over Rosen just because Lawrence is staring you in the face?
My wife knows Lawrence is better than those three guys. that's not even a debate.
No, I hear you. There's no doubt about that. Michael, always excellent. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Be well. You, that was Radio.com Insider Michael Lombardi, brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. 2020 Pro Football Pick'em. You're getting $1,000 potentially. It's up for grabs every single week at Radio.com/picks. We'll make some sense of what Michael just told us, and we'll get to our double play next. Going blitzing at noon. Remember, at 1 o'clock today, Booger McFarland of ESPN. A great show. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Guys, Grant Paulson for my friends at Lindsay Chevrolet. Been telling you about Lindsay for the last few years because I've been getting cars for them for years. My buddy Paul Smith is the general manager over there, the head honcho. He's going to take great care of you. He is a listener. He is a DC sports fan. You go into Lindsay Chevy in Woodbridge, shop online at lindsaychevy.com. When you make that call, you ask for Paul, you tell him you're a listener, he's going to take extra special care in making sure you get into your ride at a good price. They got Camaros, Malibus, Traxxes up to $8,000 off. Equinoxes, Blazers, Traverses up to $8,000 off. In fact, over 800 new Chevys are available. Their Chevy Silverados, heavy and light duty, up to $15,000 off. Lindsay Chevrolet's Love It sales event going on right now. They're going to make the deals other dealers can't or won't make. Ask for Paul Smith. You'll love it at Lindsay. Find new roads. With Danny, I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan, the Beltway Blitz, coming your way at noon. Next hour, what's at stake for LeBron James in the NBA Finals? We'll do that at 12:45, about 60 minutes from now. Also want to get into how long the leash should be for Dwayne Haskins. The reason we'll ask that, Ron Rivera on Sunday made it seem like Haskins is the guy for the foreseeable future. Came back on Monday and said there's absolutely a point, if he keeps struggling, where he would have to pull the plug. But he didn't say what that point is. So we'll try to address that and answer that coming up on Grant and Danny. Speaking of coming up, by the way, Danny, baseball starting in 12 minutes, an entire day's worth, 8-game slate of Major League Baseball playoff action, 12 minutes away today in the American League. 1 o'clock first pitch for the Astros trying to finish off the Twins on ESPN2. The White Sox are at the A's on ESPN at 3 o'clock. You got the Blue Jays and Rays at 4 p.m. today. And the Yankees and Indians at 7 o'clock tonight on ESPN. But the NL getting started. Here's your pitching matchups. Number 7 Reds, number 2 Braves. Atlanta, for all their success, Max Fried on the hill, maybe top 5 in Cy Young balloting this year. Trevor Bauer opposing the Braves for the Reds. Have to imagine Cincinnati the favorite in that game. They're actually underdogs in the series at plus 105. That might be the best bet on an underdog just because they've got such great starting pitching.
That's right. I can't wait for that one. And that's going to be on my television as I go out during the commercial breaks in 10 minutes.
Yep.
This is so weird. Like, what bizarre planet are we in? Yesterday, a baseball game was on ABC for the first time, it seems like, in 100 years. Today, 12:05, like we're on TBS Superstation in the early 90s, I'm going to watch Pete Harnish give up 8 runs and 4 1/3. What a weird time we're in, man. But
ESPN,
it's awesome.
For that,
it's
one
awesome.
Right at noon. 2 p.m., you mentioned ABC. They are going to be the home for Marlins Cubs today. Sandy Alcantara gets the start for Miami. He had an ERA of 2.30 in his final five starts of the season. Really good stuff against Kyle Hendricks, who had the lowest walk rate in the National League. That game's at 2. Cardinals and Padres at 5 this evening on ESPN2. St. Louis throwing Kwangyoung Kim, 1.62 ERA as a rookie. Really impressive year against Chris Paddock. Better last year than this year. Padres have some injuries in their rotation, including the Mike Clevenger, who they traded for. So while they're the favorites in the series, the Cardinals could catch a break. And then the last game of the NL slate late tonight, the Brewers, the 8 seed, the Dodgers, the 1 seed, 10 o'clock on ESPN. I'll just say this really quick before we get to the double play. The Dodgers better get out of this best of three. I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah.
They were on pace, if they played 162, to threaten the all-time wins record at 116. If they lose two out of these three to the Brewers, it'll just get thrown onto the pile like another division series meltdown, which might not be fair. But I would just hate to think how their fans are going to react if they cannot get out of a best of three against a Brewers team that was awful and barely .500 this year.
I would laugh. I could say that much. I would chuckle because it's not my problem. The World Series ring and the Howie Kendrick Grand Slam happened. They occurred. And I've got my deposit in the bank that we took a little withdrawal at this year with the weird Nationals year. But I would chuckle if the Dodgers found a way to not win despite being the better team yet again.
It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports.
GP, I referenced what the Wolfpack did in our opening weekend. This is not about the Wolfpack specifically. One of the parents at the game had a cool video they just happened to be taking of a goal that we scored. It was awesome. You could see all the different players on the team and one young girl who hadn't really done anything that looked like this ended up making a great play in the game. She had this like great dribble and passed it across the field to a teammate who scored, and it was great. And so all that's wonderful. Well, I came into view as the coach, you know, like applauding and like, good job, everybody. I'm really proud of you. Great effort, great work. And I saw myself on this video. Oh, my God, I'm so disgusting. I didn't have that image of myself. I was like, you know, with the pandemic, I can't really exercise as much. And I've mostly been eating okay. And I feel like I'm doing pretty good. I saw that video. I looked so gross. I looked so gross. That rude awakening is just so jarring. When you look at yourself in certain angles, you don't feel that bad about yourself. But then you see yourself compared to like other parents and children in this, you know, forced perspective where it's like, there's you. You can't hide, you fat, disgusting ogre. I was mortified, and I've been depressed since I saw that video. The game played Saturday. I saw the video on Sunday. It was sent around. I was like, this is so great. Way to go, kids. And everyone's so excited. And we wish everybody could have been there to see it. And all I could see was how terrible I looked in that video. That's what I have for you.
I noticed yesterday that you were seemingly during the show working a little harder than you typically do. Like there were dumbbells involved and you were gone. I thought maybe at one point you're doing push-ups. Like there was a lot going on, and normally you do a couple things here or there, but it was like while I was talking during segments sometimes.
No, I wasn't. I'm not weightlifting.
You were doing dumbbells
segments
and stuff. Like it was very weird. You must have been ultra motivated, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how long that lasts until, like, somebody puts carbs in front of me in the next 48 hours, and I'm sure I'll just make a bad choice because I have the willpower of an actual sheep. But I'm telling you, dude, I was mortified by it. Everyone else, like, no, I'm used to it. This is what you look like. Don't say that about yourself. You're really gross. Gross.
My favorite story about, and I'm just as bad, okay, so I'm not joning on you, but it's just you brought up your willpower, and so here we go. Mm-hmm. You went to a pizzeria one time with your kids while you were eating clean.
Yes.
And you sat down.
Yeah.
And everyone orders, and you're ready to order something. You're like, oh, I'm not going to get pizza. And some, like, six-year-old girl's like, Mr. Danny, you got to get pizza. And you're like, no. And she's like, please. And you're like, okay, fine. Give me a large pizza. And then you ate a large pizza.
Wait a minute on that, okay? That's a low blow. Let me correct you. She was 5. And that's all it took. That's all it took was her saying, come on. That's what she literally said, the words, come on.
You're like, no, said, guys, okay. I'm getting a salad. And she's like, Mr. Danny, please. And you're like, fine, lay off me. I'm starving.
I was like, can I change my order to the meat one? Disgusting. I am the worst.
No, no. You've done pretty well, I think. Tough time. It's hard on yourself. Blitz is next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.